Hello, good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McEwen and I'll be chairing this meeting. I'm required to read out a little statement for you. Just a couple of points before we start. If you have a mobile phone, please put it to silent or turn it off. And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery during conversation?
Excuse me, Chairman, we can't hear you.
You can't? All right, well, I'll shout even louder then. Right. My name is Brendan McEwen, and I'll be chairing this meeting. If you have a mobile phone, switch it to silent or turn it off. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from the Law and Administration Department. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I will indicate when they have 1 minute to go. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the council website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. And having said that, we can now move on to the agenda. First item on the agenda is number 20/32644.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Sorry. Back, please.
Oh, sorry. Have we got any apologies?
We have got two apologies. The apologies tonight are from Councillor Cross, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Roy James, and Councillor Peter Jones, who is substituted by Councillor Francis Beattie.
Okay.
There are no minutes to consider this evening.
Anything else that I should say?
Yes.
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 Could you call for any members' declarations of interest, please?
Have any members an interest, or have you been lobbied? No? Now can we move on?
Point number four, Mr. Chairman. Sorry.
I haven't got this before, though, but go on. Go on.
So that's to consider any delegated applications, those of which have been posted on the council's website.
Okay, right. There we go. So, that's good, isn't it? Application 20/32644, units 5 to 7, Diamond Way, Business Park in Stone. Application called in by Councillor Jill Hood. I'll turn to the planning officers to give a presentation.
Hello. Right, this application relates to a site within Stone Business Park. Planning permission was granted in 2017 for 18 industrial units and warehouse units. Development has commenced with 7 of the 18 units constructed but not yet occupied. This application seeks to extend the hours of operation in respect of units 5, 6 and 7 only. The approved hours of operation are 8 till 6 Monday to Friday, 9 till 5 on Saturdays with no opening permitted on Sundays or on bank holidays. The proposed hours, which only relate to units 5, 6 and 7, would be 7 till 8 Monday to Friday, 7 till 6 on a Saturday, and 9 till 4 on Sundays. This would create an additional 17 hours of trading time in a typical trading week. The prospective occupiers of these units is Screwfix, who want to allow tradespeople to visit prior to 8 a.m. and later than 5 p.m, i.e. outside of the working day. No change of use is proposed by this application, with the applicant stating that the use falls within Class B8. So we can see the first plan we've got is the red edge plan. The unit units aren't actually shown within that plan. We can see that to the north of the Red Edge site, we've got the Stonehouse Hotel and Brooms Park. We've got an aerial view, again, with it, we're just showing it a cleared site.
Sorry, could you show again where the Stonehouse Hotel is?
Yeah, sure. You can see where the Red Edge is.
Yeah.
And just literally to the north of the northernmost corner of the site is the Stonehouse Hotel. And the A34 running along the top part of the... Yeah.
And those three there is 5, 6 and 7.
I'm actually going to show you a better plan a bit further on, which will show the position of the units. It's a bit clearer on that one. We've only actually got one photograph with this application, which shows the completed units. So that's probably a better plan, showing all the units that are proposed within the site. But this application does only relate to three, which are difficult to. Is there in blue, and it's these three here. I don't know if you can see that one.
Yeah.
That one, that one, that one. Yeah, that's not the first one. Next one.
Which numbers?
Five, six, and seven.
Yeah, so it's those three.
Those three, yeah. Okay, but the main issue for consideration of this application is noise and disturbance. The units already have planning permission, and the application seeks only to extend the hours of use to 3 of the 18 units. The nearest residential dwellings can be found at Brooms Park, which sits just south of the Stonehouse Hotel, sort of to the west of the site. The noise impact assessment was submitted as part of the application, which Environmental Health have assessed, and they're satisfied that the overall noise impact is acceptable, and have concluded that there will be no significant harm to residential amenity. Got another plan two. It doesn't really show an awful lot more than we've already seen. Just the Red Edge, Brooms Park, the Stonehouse Hotel, and you can see that it is within Stone Business Park. There are other commercial units within the immediate vicinity. No objections have been raised by the Highway Authority. As I say, there's been no objection from Environmental Health in relation to noise, and the application is recommended for approval subject to conditions.
Thank you. I believe we have an objector who's going to be speaking. Chris Carlin, please come to the table. Get yourself settled in, calm down, and ready to go. We'll have 3 minutes. We'll let you know when you've got 1 minute to go.
Okay.
Are you good to go?
Yeah.
You're off.
The opening hours on the original application meet the standard. It is not acceptable that the original application was passed on hours that now look like they are going to be overruled. It is possible that those original hours were suggested to get the original application through rather than because those hours were in reality that were going to be adhered to. If so, this is disingenuous. The application for extended hours lacks awareness of its social impact on the Brooms Park community as defined in the NNPF paragraph 7. These have not been met because it does not support community needs, health, social and cultural well-being. Neither does the application follow the planning guidelines on the community well-being. Paragraph 4 suggests a health impact assessment may be a useful tool to use, nor does it investigate whether or not significant and or adverse effects are likely to occur, which will prevent a good standard of amenity. The proposed business hours fail to properly consider the residential amenity and should be refused. It cannot be justified on social grounds and poses a significant threat to the well-being of a very vulnerable community. The Brooms Park community consists of static caravans and park homes. Residents are mainly elderly. Medication is high, with a high proportion of physical and mental disability. For instance, infirmity, heart disease, high blood pressure, anxiety, depression and personality disorders. Others are recovering from various addictions. Some residents I have chatted with have said that due to all this ongoing stress, they're no longer having the will to live. They feel everything is closing in on them. And I am personally trying, with all that's been going on for the last 7 years with this, to recover from domestic violence resulting in major facial reconstructive surgery.
1 minute to go.
As such, the impact of annoyance, etc. on such a vulnerable community will be substantial. I have two quotes from local councillors from the year 2016 reported in the Staffordshire newsletter. Quote from Councillor Margaret Woodhall: deliveries mean lorries are going to be constantly going to these units. It's unacceptable to put something like that close to retirement homes. A quote from Jill Hood: the units could cause excess impact noise and vibrations, which would impact residents on Brooms Park. Unquote. Park homes and caravans are not built to the same high standard as brick homes. The Brooms Park owner that sold this land to Mr. and Mrs. Trippett put in a clause covenant to say that whatever they build, they must not be a nuisance to park home residents. And this lot is most certainly causing a nuisance to the residents of Brooms Park. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Have we got any more time?
Unfortunately not. We also had a supporter, Charlotte Mills.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee.
Do you want to start now? Let me get the timer going. Okay, go.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Charlotte Mills. I'm the agent for this planning application, and I will be speaking in support of the proposal on behalf of Screwfix Direct Limited. Screwfix Direct comprises a Class BA trade counter operation across the United Kingdom aimed at local builders and related services. Their products are sold over the internet, via a catalogue, over the telephone, as well as over the trade counter, which typically occupies under 10% of the floor space of the unit. As you will be aware, the proposal includes a change to the opening hours of units 5 to 7 by an extra hour in the mornings and 2 hours later in the evenings on Monday to Fridays, with weekday business hours on bank holidays. 2 hours earlier in the morning and an hour later on Saturdays, and between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Sundays. These hours are considered to be limited over and above the existing permitted hours. Screwfix Direct are seeking to vary the hours of operation at Unit 5 to 7, not only to provide a good service to tradesmen and opening hours in line with the rest of their portfolio, but in seeking to ensure the viability of their proposed business here and long-term job security for its staff. The variation of condition 7 would allow Screwfix to employ a total of 12 members of staff, 4 of which would be full-time employed on the premises. Based on experience elsewhere, Screwfix anticipate that these jobs will be largely filled by local people. Screwfix successfully operates from a number of units across the country, with a number of their branches being located within residential areas, including Luton, Yeovil and Glastonbury. The branch managers successfully manage the operation on site, and Screwfix can confirm they have had no formal enforcement action and are not aware of any complaints. Units 5 to 7 are located within a terrace on Diamond Way Business Park, which itself forms part of an established industrial estate. The variation of condition 7 would allow the units to be brought into full productive use, serving the jobbing builder and providing building materials. It would not be appropriate to stop in a main town centre location. It will also help reduce commercial vehicle journey miles by providing building materials in an easily accessible location.
1 minute.
Whilst we are aware that some residential properties are located within the vicinity of the site, we know that the character and amenity of the area is already heavily influenced by the A34 and surrounding industrial and commercial uses on the wider industrial estate. The subject application does not seek to vary the hours of operation across the whole estate, but solely relates to Unit 5 to 7, and this application should be judged on its own individual merit. In summary, by allowing the increase in hours of operation proposed, Units 5 to 7 would be brought into full productive use in a sustainable location to the benefit of the local economy, and with the creation of approximately 12 new full and part-time jobs. Therefore, I respectfully request that members follow their officer's recommendation and move to approve this application. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now call Councillor Jill Hood, who has 5 minutes to speak. When you are ready, Councillor Hood.
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to point out that Brooms Park is separated from the A34 by two large car parks, French Bulls Court, and on the other side there is a large field in front of the Brooms Park residential area, and the units obviously haven't been operated. I called this application in 2016 and objected on behalf of many of the residents, many of whom still live there. It wasn't permitted. It was overseen by the legendary officer Robert Simpson, who insisted at the time that policy M1E of the plan for Stafford Borough was used to safeguard the amenities of the area and to safeguard the occupiers of the nearby residential properties of Brooms Park from undue noise. Conditions would be put in place and enforced. The Environmental Health Officer noted the suggestions and agreed. Condition 8 was considered reasonable. All shutters would be kept closed during operations and work outside the units restricted. The units were never used for employment, and now the residents have to brace themselves for the impact of noise and light pollution. Neither myself nor the residents want to deny the excellent opportunity of jobs on offer by Screwfix, especially if local people benefit and boost our local economy. Screwfix says that the access and egress has been designed for delivery vehicles in a forward gear. My car goes backwards as well. Loading and unloading would occur directly at the point of entry into the building, and any noise from the use of trolleys would be contained within the existing building. We've all seen and heard people taking their trolleys out to vehicles, heard loud reversing beeping, and in the winter lights, they'll be on for many hours with security lights on during the night. The report is correct in that the business park has a high volume of vehicles. It states that whilst residents of the hotel and Brooms Park could be affected by noise, calculations in the reports show that noise due to additional vehicle movements during the proposed extended hours would be sufficiently low. If that's the case, that Screwfix are expecting sufficiently low vehicle movements, quote, during the proposed extended hours. And I ask Screwfix to rethink extending their hours. 11 hours on a Saturday starting at 7 a.m, 7 hours on a Sunday starting at 9 a.m, and the same on a bank holiday. This is not acceptable to the residents. Brooms Park is a modest development of park-style retirement homes. It was there a long time before the business park was developed. Conditions of a bund and a fence were followed to reduce the impact of the development and the noise. Most of the homes have a window which overlooks a green field, which is still there and not developed. They'd sit outside with an unobstructed view and watch the world go by. Once the 2 metres high earth embankment was built and the 1.2 metres close boarded fence put on top of the bund, they were closed in with the fence 3 metres from their windows, and their view disappeared. Plus, due to its height, the sunshine hours have been reduced. There were promises that trees would be planted next to the bund, but that's not materialised. There were promises that the fence would reduce the noise. From the start, it was clear that a 1.2 metre fence bordering on open field would not stop any noise. Planning permission has been granted, and policy stone one encourages employment growth. But your prime consideration this evening should be, will these revised extended opening hours comply with policy N1E of the plan for Stafford Borough and safeguard the residents and the amenities of the area? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Hood. Councillor Garth-Jones.
For clarity, does anybody know whether any economic activity takes place adjacent to this development on a Saturday or a Sunday?
The units.
If you could answer.
The units are all closed.
There isn't any economic activity on the site, on the Walton Industrial Estate on a Saturday or Sunday.
on the Stone Business Park.
Yeah, where this is.
It's not Walton.
Okay, Stone Business
yes,
Park.
Yes, yes, it's a huge business park. The actual fact is that between Brooms Park, there is a large car park, a field, and the units have been empty. There's one unit that's taken.
So not all of these units have been ones approved or are fully constructed.
No, I understand that. Yeah. I'm just talking about the park generally as to whether there is activity on a Saturday and a Sunday.
It would appear it is all quiet on Saturday and Sundays.
But that's only close to where the units are. The rest of the park is a very, very busy park.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Kenny?
Yeah, a noise assessment report. It's nearly 3 years old. It was done in June 2020.
It's actually quite an old application. You'll see the application is a 2020 application.
So when that noise assessment report was done, there was no unit occupied?
I don't think there were any units occupied at the moment, apart from, I think Councillor Hood said there was just the one.
So we have a noise assessment report that's done with no background noise coming from any other business that is taken over. The big debate here is the noise impact. If we haven't got an up-to-date noise assessment report.
I mean, if there was only one unit currently in operation, I wouldn't have thought that would have made a huge difference
But going into the future, are we then going to have other noise assessment reports because others might want to extend it out? It just baffles me that, you know, the noise is the main issue here. We have a noise assessment report that's done with no activity on the site whatsoever. Assuming that the Screwfix is going to be occupying all three units, there is also the residential amenity 4.8. The applicant has indicated that 40 vehicles would visit the premises per day.
Per day? 40 vehicles? How can they operate and make a profit on 40 vehicles visiting per day? Surely that cannot be right.
Is that accurate that the submission by Screwfix does say 40 vehicles per day?
In the report here it states.
Yeah.
I've actually got the noise assessment in front of me, so I'm just going to just double check that.
I think also the noise assessment report states that there's no, it's taken into account that no forklifts or HGVs movements within those times.
Relating to the additional traffic movements is stated in the submitted noise report.
So
that has been that is accurate in the officer report.
So it says 4.8 indicates that the applicant has indicated that 40 vehicles would visit the premises per day, plus 3 HGVs per week. It needs to be unloaded. The noise assessment report states that no consideration has been given to forklift movements or HGVs.
Just rereading the noise report, it says based on the operation at similar sites, it is anticipated that a maximum of 20 vehicle movements could be present per hour. This would account for 20 vehicle movements entering and exiting the premises during the weekday morning time period of 7 to 8 and an additional 40 movements during the weekday evening time period of 6 to 8.
So if I have this correct, then the 40 vehicles per day is in the extended hours.
I think it's within the extended hours, not the complete day. That's the way I've read it from the noise report.
Okay, but that's not the report that's in front of us.
Councillor Nixon.
This development was granted permission with that condition 8, and the only reason it got that permission at that time was because that condition was imposed. And I haven't heard any valid argument yet that it shouldn't remain in place, because my understanding is it was put there for the benefit of the nearby residents. So my opinion is that it should remain in place.
Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I ask, has the applicant looked at any other sites on the industrial estates, do we know?
I don't actually know. I wasn't the case officer, unfortunately, for this application, so I don't know whether that has happened or whether that information was passed to the previous officer.
Through you, Chairman, I think it's a huge industrial estate, yet the majority of that industrial estate has no real impact on the residents of the park, except these newly constructed and park constructed sites. I think I'm struggling to understand why Screwfix are specifically looking at that site when there are very similar units available already where they could potentially apply for the same extended hours and would easily be granted them because of the nature of where the siting is. So I don't really understand why they specifically gone for that. It's not for me to question why, I understand that. I'm just a little bit surprised, hence the question, have they looked at anywhere else?
That's a valid point.
So are units 1, 2, 3, which are the top blue one at the top there, those are not occupied at the moment, but that's a similar size unit to 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay.
There's only one unit that is occupied at the moment.
On the whole development? Yeah. Okay.
I've got a question.
Okay. So,
DT? And that is, they say they operate online orders. It's quite a big part of the business. Are the delivery vehicles, in other words, is this the site, the warehouse site, basically, for those orders? And in that case, do they need to be delivered at that time in the day? How big is that business, basically, the online business, and is it operating from that side?
I don't know how. I'm guessing Screwfix have got a huge online business. These units aren't that big, to be perfectly honest.
So it won't be part of this.
There would be a trade counter within these units where people could go to get bits and bobs.
That's right. Can I ask another question?
Yeah, sure.
There's an awful lot of talk about 1E. And if you look at the council's decision to approve on page 15, it's numbers 5, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And all of these, I imagine, or reading it, have been approved by the current environmental health officer, have they?
Is that correct?
What are the conditions?
Under conditions, yeah. It's Councillor Hood referred to M1E.
So the conditions that are attached to this current application have replicated the conditions that would have been on the original application back in 2016. There was an amendment to that application in 2021, which was approved prior to this one. So as I say, what we would do is we would repeat the conditions, and obviously if it was agreed, the hours of condition would be changed. But yes, environmental health were obviously involved on the original application, and they've had input into this one as well in relation to the noise assessment report.
And they've had no objections to the revision.
Councillor Kenny?
It's fair to assume that operational hours stated, I think, are 7, or what wish to be 7 till in the morning till 8 in the evening, and 7 till 6 on Saturdays, and 9 till 4. That doesn't necessarily mean that business or activity stops at those points in time. Of course, the people who are going to be stopping up may be working beforehand, earlier, or after. I can't imagine that they just close the door and all walk out at those times. So there's a further extension to noise disturbance there. But I think, if we're talking about environmental health, they've made a decision, 3 years ago, based on a noise assessment report with no background noise whatsoever. And I can't see why we should change. There are plenty of other warehouses on that site that could be considered, and I'd like to propose that we refuse the application based on the noise. The noise disturbance and the impact on the residential community.
Okay, you're proposing that. Is anyone going to second that?
I'll second that, Chair.
Okay, I'll go with you, Councillor Nixon. Right, so it's been proposed and seconded to refuse. All those in accordance with that, please raise.
You just need to clarify the reasons.
Yes, correct. Okay. So the reasons for refusal are the impact on residential properties as defined in previous conditions and noise.
Noise disturbance resulting from
use. Sorry, just clarify your reasoning for you putting forward a motion to refuse.
I think the conditions should remain in place that were there previous.
Can you just state what the planning harm would be? What your
planning harm
reason
is the noise and disturbance resulting from use.
So noise and disturbance resulting from the additional hours.
Yes.
Because you can't go wind back to beyond the previous one.
Okay, so proposed by Councillor Kenny, seconded by Councillor Nixon to refuse on those grounds of noise. Please show.
One.
For refusal.
Two, three, four, five, Mr. Chairman.
Five. Against. Two.
Three. Against.
And abstentions. Two. Okay, so application is refused. Thank you very much. We now move on to application number 22/36245, land off Litchfield Road, Stafford, residential development of 359 dwellings with associated infrastructure, etc. It has been referred to committee previously by Councillor Chris Barron, who is unfortunately no longer part of the council, so there'll be no ward member there as far as I can see. We do have a supporter in the guise of Eleanor Lovett. If you'd like to come to the table, please. Oh, sorry, got you. Presentation first. Hold your horses. Okay, go.
Application which seeks approval of reserve matters for 359 dwellings following an outline consent, which was granted under application 232041, which approved access only from Ramshaw Drive, and was subject to a number of conditions and a legal agreement covering Canet Chase SAC, travel plan monitoring fee, education contribution and affordable housing provision. This application looks specifically at appearance, landscaping, layout and scale. Each of these issues is discussed in detail in the officer report, and it is concluded that all issues have been adequately addressed. So the first plan we've got on the screen, this actually shows the factory buildings which have now been demolished. We can see the red edge, and these buildings within this red edge are no longer there. The outline permission was granted in 2022, and then there was a further application for enabling works, including demolition, clearance, remediation, restoration and reprofiling of the land, and these works are now largely completed. The site adjoins the railway line to the south, Litchfield Road to the east. There's an existing retail park and B&Q to the north, and it's accessed by an existing access onto Ramshaw Drive to the west. So we can see the access just sort of up in the top west-hand corner of the site. Again, that's the aerial view of the site we've just seen on plan view. Those buildings are now gone and the site has been flattened. We've got a number of photographs of the site. You can see on this plan where each photograph has been taken from. So I'll go through what each one individually. So photograph one has been taken from Ramshaw Drive, which is the access point facing into the application site. So that's image one of the access. I'll go back one. Photograph two is taken from an area of public open space between the site entrance and the dwellings on Fenton Close. So you can see again on the sort of western side of that red edge, looking over towards the site. That's photograph image two. So that's looking over towards the development site. Image three is a view eastwards across the site towards the Litchfield Road, with the rear service yard of B&Q just visible in the foreground. Image four is a view from Field House Way towards the southeast of the site across the Bowling Club car park. Image five is a glimpsed view into the site through the boundary vegetation adjoining the raised section of the A34. And finally, image six, I'll just flip back to the plan, which is at the top sort of eastern corner. That's a view from the existing Litchfield Road access point. This access is not to be used to serve the development other than an emergency access point. Plan number one is another red edge plan, similar to the ones we've seen previously. Plan number two is the layout plan, which is proposed. The proposed layout provides a mixture of 1, 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties, 10% of which will be affordable units. The proposed house types are predominantly two-storey, red brick properties, but there are also some 2.5-storey house types and dwellings proposed in a render finish to add interest and variety to the street scene. There's a mix of terraced, semi-detached and detached dwellings. The main access is taken off Ramshaw Drive. The first section of the main distributor route through the site is tree-lined to both sides and links to a large area of public open space towards the centre of the site. There are 3 play areas located in the site, and there are pedestrian linkages between the play areas and other areas of open space. There's also a pedestrian route across the north of the site, linking Renshaw Drive to the west of the site with Litchfield Road to the east. The overall level of amenity achieved across the site in terms of the distances and proximity between dwellings and garden sizes is considered to be acceptable. Plan 3 is a landscape plan. It shows the provision of street trees, green linkages through the site. There's detailed landscaping plans with native tree and shrub planting around the built development through existing areas of trees to the eastern and southern sides of the site, and these trees are to be protected during the remodelling of the site. Finally, plan 4, we've got an indicative street scene. There's obviously various house types proposed throughout the development. This just gives us an idea of what some of those house types might look like, and we've got some typical street scenes. The application, we've had no objections from any statutory consultees. Nothing raised by the Highway Authority. Parking within the site meets the Borough Council's parking standards. The application is recommended for approval, subject to conditions which are detailed for in the agenda.
Thank you, Sean. Now, welcome, Eleanor. You have 3 minutes whenever you want to start.
Thank you. Good evening, members. My name is Eleanor Lovett of Claremont Planning. I'd like to thank you for inviting me to speak on behalf of the applicant, Bellway Homes, in support of proposals for 359 dwellings and former Alston factory at Litchfield Road, Stafford. Outline planning permission was granted in February 2022 for up to 365 dwellings, securing the redevelopment of this brownfield site close to Stafford Town Centre. The site represents a windfall opportunity for housing within the urban area, consistent with adopted and emerging planning policy objectives to direct most development to the town of Stafford as the most sustainable location in the borough, alongside securing redevelopment of a previously developed site. The industrial manufacturing building formerly occupying the site were demolished in 2021. Remediation, restoration and reprofiling of the site have been undertaken, making the site available for future development. Bellway Homes is seeking the approval of the Dev Matters in order to enable the delivery of residential development on the site. The application proposes delivery of 359 dwellings comprising a range of 1 to 4 bedroom properties, including 35 affordable homes, consistent with the outline planning permission. This represents a reduction compared to the total consented at outline stage, as Bellway is seeking to secure the delivery of family dwellings to meet market housing demand rather than smaller apartments. The proposals include a range of 2 and 2.5 storey properties featuring traditional design and a mix of materials in keeping with surrounding residential areas, including taking cues from older properties along Litchfield Road. Since the application was submitted last June, Bellway has worked with the council to amend the proposals in response to feedback. This has principally involved improvements to the layout, ensuring the proposals are consistent with the council's design guidance, with additional information submitted to support this, including a design compliance statement. The resulting proposals will deliver a clear street hierarchy, with vistas created through the development, ensuring legibility for people travelling through the site. A key change has been the introduction of the footpath link along the northern edge. While constrained by an existing pipeline easement, this will provide a route along a key desire line with suitable landscaping to create a pleasant environment for pedestrians. The proposals will also deliver more open space within the development than was envisaged at the outline stage, exceeding policy requirements. This has been distributed
1 minute,
across
Eleanor.
The site, ensuring that all residents will be located within close proximity to an area of public open space, as well as one of 3 equipped play areas. These changes have ensured that the proposals are now supported by the council's officers, as demonstrated through the recommendation for approval. The committee is therefore respectfully requested to approve the Reserve Matters proposal to enable the delivery of 359 family homes on this brownfield site at Litchfield Road. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So it's an application not for the site. The site has already been granted outline permission. This is a Reserve Matters. Councillor Beattie, did you want to speak?
Can I? I think the first one's answered by the fact, it was dealt with at our time. Why is it only 10% affordable?
That was what was agreed at the outline stage.
And that's been decided?
That's been decided, and that formed part of the legal agreement attached to the outline permission.
Thanks.
So they are in accordance with what was set out as under the outline permission.
That's what I gather. And then the other question is probably for John. It's to do with biodiversity net gain. Does that apply yet? And why, if so, why do we have no biodiversity net gain incorporated into the planning?
Strictly speaking, the 10% would be closer to 36 than 35.
So, on the final page of the officer report, the officer stated that they submitted, presumably they submitted ecology report with the application, shows an on-site biodiversity net gain of 114% as detailed within the landscape.
114%?
Yeah, as detailed
That's
within
possible.
The landscape plans. Bill Waller has looked at the application. He's looked specifically at the landscaping, and he's not raised any objections or concerns.
114% doesn't add up. I mean, with 10% to 15% is what we're looking at, so that needs challenging.
I think you have to bear in mind, if you looked at the original photograph of the site, it's largely covered by buildings or hard standing.
Oh, so it's the gardens that can.
I suppose there was probably no biodiversity there at all before, so
very,
in terms
only
of
around the margins before, I think.
I think a conversation with Bill Waller is in order for me.
Councillor Frank James.
Yeah, I think we're all saddened that we've lost the jobs on that site, but the thing I think of picking up what Councillor Beattie has just said is the fact that the number of houses, affordable houses, is appalling to think about it in this site. Not only those are the houses who are wanting staffing, but if we're going to approve, if we're approving this, but that's the sort of percentage, it's an appalling situation. And another concern is, which I've received many complaints about, is going to be the transport. There's going to be at least 350 cars coming off there. And that's the road system around there at the moment is appalling.
Thank you. Councillor Garth Jones.
On page 30 of the paper that we've got in front of us, the design advisor comments, and he, in the first part of his paragraph, he's expressing approval of the fact that the design has been is considered tangible and not a substantial design improvement from that was originally submitted. But at the end it says the scheme does now more closely reflect some of the desirable placemaking qualities, although it's still not delivering an overall quality of place that is unreservedly supported. I think the design of the houses is quite an important factor as far as the application is concerned. In no way am I a judge of quality of buildings, etc. But can you expand what his concern was and why this application came in this form as opposed to more conforming with what the design advisor would have liked it to have been?
So there's been a number of revisions to the scheme along the way, incorporating changes that the design advisor has suggested, and the sentence that you've just read out, it does then go on to say the scheme does now more closely reflect some of the desirable placemaking qualities illustrated by the integrated layout that was approved by the outline permission. So he is saying, if you continue where you're reading, he is saying that it's more close. We would have been given an integrated layout at the outline stage,
and that's not always necessarily what comes forward at the reserve matter stage.
Yeah,
so
Chairman, I think the thing that's sticking with me is that the paragraph does read, although still not delivering an overall quality of place that is unreservedly supported.
Yeah, it's semantics, isn't it, really? You know what's trying to be said. Councillor Spencer, welcome.
Thank you. I know it's in the reserve matters, but talking about scale and width and height of buildings and so forth, and it notes that the whole development's going to be raised by a certain degree. Do you know what that height is that it's going to be raised by?
When you say raised, what do you mean?
The site levels will be there to be raised across the development as part of the construction works.
Presuming any site works would have been dealt with under the enabling works application.
Indeed, yeah. So
that's been approved.
And has the scale of the properties therefore been taken into account with that increase in height?
So obviously when this application's been assessed, we've taken into account what enabling works have taken place on the site, which has included clearance and reprofiling of the land. So that's it will have been assessed in accordance with what's been approved under that application.
Okay.
Councillor Beattie?
Can I, actually, picking up on that, one of the really good things that came out when we looked at the outline is the fact that they've opened up some of the culverts so that we've got the brook courses reopened, which it will be a nice feature, I think, as long as they keep them open. Like Councillor Jones, I'm quite vexed about the problems of design because it happens all the time with our developers that we concede to the lesser standards of design which we'd rather not see. So it's a difficult one, this.
Councillor Nixon?
I understand where Councillor Jones is coming from about the 10%, but as we all know, when these large scale applications come in, the developer normally says 20%, which is what we're really looking for, is unviable. In other words, they can't make enough money on 20%, so it's only viable with 10%, and we see this time and time again. But the question I'd like to ask is there any proposal for any solar panels, any electric charging points for vehicles, or anything like this in any of these properties?
Is there any detail on that?
I'm not 100% sure. I mean, looking at the street scene elevations, I can't see anything there that would indicate that solar panels are to be included on the houses as built. I mean, usually car charging points are included by an individual when they buy a property. I thought.
Can we not make it a condition that these buildings have electrical charging points? Because as I understand it, in the not too distant future, that's going to come in across the UK as a whole. So if we make it a condition, so it's in advance of any legislation, because let's face it, if you're not going to go hydrogen, then you're going to go electric for your vehicles. So it makes no sense for new buildings, while they're putting them up, not to have the charging point already installed.
That's something we want to do.
The wit of man to put the charging point in.
I think it's, as the chairman's just said, something that obviously we want to move towards. I think. Looking at a layout like this, you might have a difficulty applying that to every single property because it depends where your parking is, because they're not necessarily, parking spaces aren't always immediately outside the house.
No, but you can put charging points, can you not? In the parking spaces, which is what happens in a lot of places. I mean, when you look at Trenton, you know, you've outside in Trenton, you've got all those Tesla charging points.
I don't know what Bellway's policy is on charging points.
If
they
were
clear to answer the question.
Can I invite you to, for clarity?
Chris O'Hanlon, I'm the planning manager from Bellway West Midlands, who are the applicants. Bellway's policy has been for a couple of years now to install EV charging on every property where it has its own parking. Where you've got areas of communal parking, will provide, you know, a certain number of chargers per spaces, which is consistent with
so
the highway's policy.
So we can put it in as a condition.
Absolutely.
So that can be written in then.
Okay.
So is that all the properties? Can I propose that we approve this application?
Does anyone want to speak before we do that? Councillor James?
I'd just like somebody to just explain again the access and egress. Because everybody who speaks to me says they're going to come out by the Spittlebrook, but are they or not?
I think it's for emergency access only, is it?
Yes, the access is via Renshaw. Renshaw Drive.
Yeah.
Which will mean they'll come out on the traffic lights instead.
There was a picture of another access which is only to be used for emergencies only. That one.
Yeah, that's the one by that everybody thinks they're going to use.
But that's not the case, is it? I think.
No.
You think.
No, that's for emergencies and
pedestrians only. Okay, well, anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Phillips?
I appreciate that there appears to be a number of trees on this site. I think if my mind goes back a number of years when there was a consultation regarding the housing on here, there was not this many houses on the plans at that consultation, and it would appear that the fears of the local residents have certainly come true. I'm very disappointed to see there are some areas that don't have trees, that looks like a car park frontage again. It gives that impression of squeeze it in, and it doesn't really matter how it's going to appear. And I'm very disappointed, returning back to this application, after a number of years and seeing how many houses there are, this is just an opinion, that Bellway removed the contribution for secondary school education when they are evidently building so many houses on here, and we don't have the secondary school provisions that we should have. That's just a personal opinion that I just wanted to make known. I'm not overly happy about the way that this looks aesthetically. I'm not overly happy about the fact that we've got this terraced house type style with no greenery, so we've got certain streets where people are going to be looking from concrete and pavements across to frontages and pavements. With no greenery in between, and I think it could have been designed slightly better than it has if it wasn't so compact.
Chairman, if I just can clarify from what Councillor Phillips said there, if we turn to page 19 on the agenda, it clarifies that this is the Reserve Matters application for 359 dwellings, and it follows the outline permission 20.32041 OUT. Now, that approved the access, which was from Renshaw Drive, which was picked up in the previous comment, and that was outline permission was subject to Section 106 agreement, which covers the things in the four bullet points below: the Cannock Chase SAC contribution, travel plan monitoring, a reduced education contribution of £1,013,705, and a 10% affordable housing provision. So those are not for debate now. They're part of the outline permission. The Reserve Matters is in accordance with the outline approval in the sense that it tells you on the paragraph above that the outline was for up to 365 dwellings, so it's no more than that number, so it's in accordance. Obviously, the comments in terms of layout are fine, but we can't go back over the access issue, any access issues, because that was set by the outline, or the contributions, because that was again agreed at the outline stage. So it's only the design of the scheme itself we're considering tonight.
So can I come back to
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
When we initially agree a set number of properties to be built on a specific area, we never see the actual layout at that time, which means obviously we say that, but we have nothing to base that on other than the fact that, you know, that the applicant could put an application in for multiple flats that would. But you understand what I'm saying. We don't actually get to see what it looks like at that period of time. So it's only when we see these final plans that we can actually see, really see, what an estate is going to look like aesthetically, and whether or not that number in reality works or doesn't work.
I understand what you're saying, but in terms of us agreeing a recommendation for up to 365, we have to be confident that 365 would be adequately provided within the site. Otherwise, there's no point in approving a number that's more than you can realistically get. So what Bellway had done was to demonstrate, not in the outline application itself, but with sketch scheme, in terms of that it would fit that number. So we were happy that that number could be accommodated. Now, obviously it depends on what your internal layout is, and I'm sure there are changes since that scheme. You can see that they've got six less in this final scheme than they demonstrated was possible. So I hear what you're saying, but if there are issues with the scheme itself, by all means identify those, but we can't go back to the maximum number now.
I understand. Can I come back just quickly?
Last one, because I've got Councillor Spence who wishes to speak.
Yeah, just quickly. So can I ask, all of the gardens and the properties all meet the national standards size?
Well, it covers that in the report, because it says...
Sorry, I've missed which page.
It says about the several of the gardens... A number of the gardens are slightly below standard.
I know I've seen it somewhere, but can you just remind me where that says?
It's quite a few of them.
I just recollect.
Paragraph 2.18.
My apologies for not having seen it. So, I think the problem that I've got, or the issue that I've got, is that with their other sites that they built, we had a number of properties that were below the national standard. And if we're looking here at some are either 9 or 10 square metres short, and one that's 15 square metres short of the required area. Why is that the case if it's a blank canvas? Why are there so many properties, again, on this site, as we've seen on previous Bellway sites, where they are not meeting the national standards but are squeezing onto that site?
It's not a national standard that we're looking at in terms of the garden areas. It's something that forms part of our design guidance. And overall, out of a development of over 300 houses, we've only got 15 houses that fall short of that guidance. It is guidance that sort of sets out a figure of a desired garden area. So overall, whilst there are 15 that don't meet that guidance perfectly, it's not considered enough to refuse an application on that alone.
So through you, Chairman, would they be the ones that were allocated for social and affordable housing that don't meet the national standards?
I'm getting a shaking of the head down there.
it says within that paragraph that the majority of the plots that have got the smaller garden sizes are the mid-terrace dwellings or all the some of the semi-detached dwellings. It also goes on to say within paragraph 2.18 that the affected plots are all located in close proximity to areas of public open space.
So we don't know
what types they are. I do have a list of all the plots that have the substandard gardens, but I don't, unfortunately, I don't know whether they are the affordable housing units.
Can I ask your opinion on that statement?
Yeah, I don't think any of the gardens that are undersized are actually on affordable plots. So all the affordable houses, all certified, have gardens that meet the requirements. So all the affected properties are market dwellings, and they would be sold accordingly. So the price would reflect that they have a slightly smaller garden. So these aren't affordable houses.
Sorry, couldn't quite catch what you were saying then. Did you say that they are, so they're not going to be sold to a housing association?
So they're not affordable properties that are affected. They are market properties, and they would be sold on the basis that the gardens are smaller and the price would reflect that.
Okay. Councillor Spencer.
I think I agree that it's going to be significant biodiversity increase, because obviously it was a factory site previously, and other than removing it entirely, you're never going to get anything better than that. But in response to what you were saying about, you know, the appearance and layouts, maybe we could place a condition that maybe further trees are planted along some of the roadways, as shown on the, I think presumably the main spine road that runs through the site.
So there are trees along the main road that comes in from the main entrance into the site. We've got trees on both sides of the road.
On that one road, granted, but not on the other roads coming through.
Not throughout the entire development, but on the entrance to the site we've got a tree line.
Yeah, so it's sort of, and presumably, for those residents, then they've got a nice vista, but for the rest of the development they haven't. So maybe further tree planting could be created along those roadways to reflect the incoming roads.
There are a number of trees shown on the, I know it's difficult to see on there, but there are a number of trees that are proposed throughout the development. That is the only section that's sort of tree lined both sides, I admit, but there are other street planting.
I cannot see the issue of not doing that, further planting in other areas as well. It's not going to reduce the density of the housing, it's not going to reduce, in fact it's going to improve.
I think it would reduce the density of the houses.
Well, not necessarily it's in the green spaces, sorry, apologies, of where the car parking is and sort of in verges and so forth. Because all those roads will have verge, will have pavement.
I think some of the streets, roads within the development don't have verges.
Okay. Could there be a provision to do so?
Leaning against an open door there with me.
We
can only judge the application before us.
Yeah. Well, we're looking at reserved matters, aren't we, which is the landscaping, appearance and layout. So this surely is one of the...
Under landscaping, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, the tree officer has looked at this application and hasn't raised any concerns.
Yes, but the tree officer looks at TPOs and so forth on existing trees and removal of or retention of those, not on...
So our design officer is quite keen to include tree planting along streets on new schemes. Unfortunately, I wasn't the case officer, so I don't know what discussions have been made, but I'm pretty sure that he's had input about getting those initial trees into the estate and some of the other planting along the main road.
Would it help if we asked if those tree-lined streets are more densely planted with trees?
I think density is going to be an issue, isn't it, because of services and so forth in there, and the impact they might have. But surely further trees can be put in the roads where there are not tree-lined areas.
I think that's the problem with there being no verge. Where do you put a tree?
Well, on the tree-lined ones, is there a verge on there?
Yes,
there is a verge, a grass verge on that. Yeah. So there's no verge on any of the.
Through the chair.
Yeah.
3.1 sort of covers it, I think.
Is there any space to get any more trees in?
Through you, Chair, I know that we did an assessment of this during the application, and we calculated we were providing at least 200 trees on this site, in addition to the ones that are all being retained around the edges of the site. Okay. So, I think in our view, we've put in as many as we possibly can.
And they're reflected in the revised landscaping scheme referred to in 3.1.
Okay, anyone?
So 670, only seven, so only 200 trees for 340 houses.
Plus the ones that are retained.
And yeah. Ones that put in the road gardens.
Councillor James,
I'd like
James.
To second this proposal.
Right, it's been proposed by Francis Beattie to approve with the condition about the electric charging points.
Yes, please, Mr. Chairman.
And seconded by Councillor Frank James for approval. We got that condition noted.
Charging points.
Yes, the charging points noted.
Is that for all properties?
All properties, save all properties. All properties will have access to. Okay, excellent. So on that basis, can I put that to the vote, please? All those in favour, show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Mr. Chairman.
9. All those against? 1.
All against.
Application is approved with that condition. Thank you. We now come to planning application 22/35672. Drumble House, School Lane, Chebsey.
Yes.
Who's going to present this for us?
This is Steve.
Steve Owen. Application called in by Councillor Pert.
Thank you, Chairman. So the location plan shows the extent of this site, which is outlined in red. The site comprises Drumble House, a detached single-storey dwelling house. The site also comprises enclosed land, which is used by the applicant domestically. The site contains land to the north and east of Drumble House, which is a mixture of approved and unapproved garden space. Drumble House is a former agricultural building which received permission in 2018 to be converted into a dwelling. Condition 5 of that permission removes permitted development rights and requires planning permission for domestic extensions and alterations. So the aerial view. The site is set within open countryside. There is an agricultural field to the north and east of Drumble House. To the west is a wooded area, and 30 metres to the south is the nearest neighbouring dwelling, which is also called Drumble House. Further to the south of the neighbouring dwelling is Isaac Walton Fishery. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 is looking towards the existing hot tub and southeastern corner of the site. Image 2 is looking south towards the outbuilding and ground source heat pump. Image 3 is looking towards the eastern elevation of the dwelling house and shows the lean-to and flue. Image 4 is again looking towards the eastern elevation and shows the flue, the lean-to, the outbuilding and heat pump. Image 5 is looking north and shows the enclosed area of garden space. Image 6 shows the south and west facing front elevation. It shows the existing brick and fence boundary treatment. Image 7 shows the northern elevation and the enclosed garden space. Plan 1 shows the existing site plan. Plan 2 shows the proposed site plan and the elevations. The site plan shows the host dwelling house, the existing domestic development, the extent of the approved domestic curtilage, which is outlined in green, the red edge to the north and west shows the extent of the land currently enclosed and being used by the applicant for garden. The enclosure of this agricultural land has joined the two disconnected areas of approved curtilage, outlined in green, into one continuous area of unapproved curtilage. Planning permission is sought to change the use of land. 178 square metres of approved domestic curtilage, which is indicated orange, would be swapped for 178 square metres, an equal square metreage, of agricultural land, which is indicated blue. The proposed trade-off of land would link the two areas of approved domestic curtilage without resulting in any net increase in garden square footage. The remaining portion of land, currently enclosed contrary to the 2018 Planning Commission, which is to the north and east of the land indicated orange, which isn't included in the swap, would be returned to agricultural use through the conditioned removal of the post and rail fence. The new extent of the domestic curtilage would be enclosed and regularised via a new post and rail fence. Retrospective planning permission is also sought for the existing development, which includes the lean-to canopy, the external flue, the CCTV cameras, the timber outbuilding, the air source heat pump, the hot tub, the brick and fence boundary treatment, and hard standing. The planning application is considered acceptable in principle. The proposed swapping of domestic and agricultural land in this instance is sufficiently policy compliant, as the swapping of equal amounts of adjacent land, which can be viably farmed, is suitable compensatory measure. The proposal is also considered acceptable in terms of design and visual impact, subject to the recommended conditions. The proposal is also considered acceptable in terms of amenity, highway safety, parking and biodiversity. The application is therefore recommended for approval, subject to the conditions detailed within the agenda. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We have a supporter. Michael Askew. Thank you. We have 3 minutes, so we'll let you know when you're down to your last minute.
Thank you, Chair. I'm the agent representing the applicant, and would like to take this opportunity to summarise the case in favour of the proposal. By way of background, the applicant previously lived in the main house adjacent to the application site. That dwelling was constructed following the granting of planning permission in 1996 and was called Drumble House. Their intention to downsize led them to obtaining planning permission to convert the existing domestic garaging and outbuildings associated with that property to provide a new separate dwelling for them to relocate to, which was granted permission in 2019 and subsequently implemented. They renamed the new dwelling Drumble House, with the original house named Brampton. The application site is therefore not considered to comprise a rural building in its true sense, as the buildings were never utilised for agricultural purposes or in association with any other rural activities, and were not traditional barns prior to their conversion. Instead, they are modern buildings which were originally constructed as ancillary domestic buildings to serve the main property, all of which were constructed following the granting of the 1996 Planning Commission. Following the applicant's relocation to their new property, it soon became apparent that the approved garden area serving this dwelling made it impractical for maintenance purposes, as the two sections of gardens were separated by intervening paddock area. They subsequently squared off this garden and extended the patio area across the rear corner of the property in order to make it a more practical circulation space. The applicants also constructed various ancillary buildings within their garden, as well as a lean-to canopy and other associated domestic features. Such features would have normally comprised permitted developments and only required planning permission in this instance because permitted development rights were removed. The reason cited for the removal of permitted development rights was to protect the open character and the appearance of the rural area and to avoid the proliferation of unnecessary urbanising features. It's important to note that policy C5 allows extension to dwellings in the rural areas, providing the resulting floor area does not exceed a 70% increase. And your officers accept that various elements of the development which form part of this application comply with the policy C5 and E2 and can therefore be considered acceptable, as I consider these features would not erode the character.
1 minute to go.
We note Councillor Pert's reasons for calling the application to committee, that being to review the potential over-intensification of the use. The development subject to these planning applications has been constructed of high quality and is positioned tightly around the established cluster of buildings, not prominent from public vantage points. Whilst there are a number of individual elements in this proposal, there is no over-intensification use of the site, and we contend that it does not result in over-domestication of the area. Your officers plainly agree in this regard. The applicants will work proactively with your officers to provide land swap to ensure that there's no net increase in the extensive garden area associated with the property, returning other portions of area back to the paddock land. Your officers are happy with the new post and rail fence to be provided to reinforce these amended defensible boundaries and therefore enabling the LPA to control any further encroachment. In summary, we respectfully ask members to approve Planning Commission in line with your officers' well-considered recommendations. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now I'll ask Councillor Jeremy Pert to come to the table as it's your call in.
Thank you.
You have 5 minutes.
Oscar Wilde's character, Lady Bracknell, once famously said in the play The Importance of Being Earnest about Mr. Worthington, who had been left in a handbag at London's Victoria Station, to lose one parent, Mr. Worthing, may be regarded as a misfortune, but to lose both looks like carelessness. I once had a boss who said, if you tell me something once, then I hear it. Twice, then I know it's important, but three times, then I think you're not listening. So tonight, Chair, Councillors, we have before you an application from a seasoned developer who bought and created a fishery which is remote from Chedzie Village in the open countryside in a delightful location. The fishery found they needed somewhere close to the fishery to live, so they built it, and then they needed a hatchery which was extremely close to the house. So I take exception that this building wasn't used for agricultural purposes, because it was clearly used for agricultural workers. That was why it was approved in the first place. Then the fishery decided they were going to sell up and then sell the buildings, and that is how the fishery was separated from the house itself. So finally, we've now got the fishery needing a new house. We've got the existing house that was built for the fishery originally as an agricultural workers' place. We've got a hatchery which has now been turned into a house. I think you can work out exactly that there has been some planned moves with what's going on here. You couldn't really make it up. They're all sets of developments that are in the open countryside, even though it is clearly contrary to policies within both the MPPF and also the local plan for Stafford Borough. So I ask you, to make a mistake and not apply for planning permission when the latest permission granted only in 2018 clearly states on the confirmation letter dated the 1st of February 2019 as condition 5, notwithstanding the provisions of the Town and Country Planning Act, blah, 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 no development within the following classes of development shall be carried out without the prior approval of the local authority, including enlargement, improvement, alteration, buildings incidental to the enjoyment of the dwelling house, hard surfaces incidental to the enjoyment of the dwelling house, chimneys, flues, gates, fences, walls, all of the stuff we've seen this evening. You couldn't be clearer, in my view. This retrospective application, members, is to regularise all of the things that you've seen and was previously read out. And I think image seven clearly shows the quantum of development that has gone on that hasn't been permitted. Any one of the developments undertaken required upfront planning permission, and in their own right might have been laudable, maybe even acceptable, but taken all together must be to the point of overdevelopment. There was already only one dwelling house on this piece of open countryside because of something that it is no longer associated with. And instead of one house, we now have three. 25 years ago, there were none, some fishing pools. The planning balance has surely been more than met, if not surpassed. And maybe the council should be as interested in looking at the pollution that's been caused to the neighbouring fishery due to questionable porosity tests when the original development was undertaken, and the resulting massive negative environmental impact that is happening in that location. This is Gummer's Law enacted, but not quite, as whilst the properties may be mansions, increasingly overdeveloped with increasing domestic paraphernalia, they are not unique, nor especially in design. The original reason, the original planning commission
1 minute to go.
Was put not to develop, was to protect the open countryside and the character of the open countryside and its appearance and the surrounding rural area against the proliferation of unnecessary urbanised features. Surely, if you start your assessment by looking at the items individually, and that doesn't raise significant concern individually, then you also need to look at the collective mass of development. And if you do so, in my view, on planning balance, you would significantly come to a different conclusion. The additions take no respect of the surrounding setting and look like they've been parachuted onto an open field in the middle of the countryside. When you consider some of the policies and treatments given to the extensions of barns, this is just a step too much and a step too far, in my view. Given this, members, please can I urge you to support the historic environment by turning this application down.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, we've seen the presentation, we've heard the speakers. Who would like to go first? Councillor Spencer.
Most of it appears to be just to the actual property itself, which has already been given on planning permission. The lean-to, the air source equal, which of course is a sustainable energy source. So the only thing that sticks out to me is the hot tub that sort of sits out on its own as a bit of a carbuncle. And as it's supposed to rail fence, it's quite obvious to that it's not a rural element of that application or that building. So I would say that maybe everything else for me is permissible apart from maybe that hot tub, and maybe to help to reduce the impact of the other elements. Maybe rather than post a rail fence, maybe a native hedge to help to maybe to disguise the development further. That's my thoughts.
Thank you. Councillor Kenny.
Yeah, can we just go through the both of the pictures again, please, that show the individual?
Do you want to go from start from the beginning?
Yes, please. Yeah. That's enough.
Do you want to just run through them again?
I just think that there's a total lack of screening or thought that's gone into the development and some of the things that have been put there. Obviously, you're in the CCTV cameras, you can't see. The timber outbuilding, obviously dropped in there with the heat source pump. Yeah, I agree, great idea to have it done, but it should have had some screening around it. And I do think that had these come to committee or country planning, in the correct manner, then some things, you know, visual aspect of it would have been changed.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Frank James.
Yeah. Whilst I appreciate what Councillor Third says, there is no other property within a very great deal vicinity, near vicinity of this property. And it's in the middle of nowhere. It's, as Councillor Kenny said, perhaps there's one or two things that have been put up which should have planning permission, but I don't see a problem.
Okay. Chair, just as a fact...
just for clarification.
Point of clarification. Next door to the red edge on the right hand of the screen is a secondary property, that's Brampton House. Equally, there is a fishery exactly behind, which was originally linked to it, and they have a planning application in for an agricultural worker's dwelling. And there is clearly a huge number of people who go to the fishery. Well, they used to go to the fishery.
Okay, thank you. Any more speakers? Councillor Phillips, did you raise a hand?
Well, I'm just concerned about the number of policies that seem to have been breached. As my fellow council members just said, completely disregarded. The person that's done this is evidently experienced enough not to have gone down this route. I wonder, was there some problem contacting the planning officers? Is there any reason other than not wanting to, why this hasn't gone down any of the proper channels?
Well, I can't speak to the applicant's motivation, but the application has been submitted and it is for the committee to consider.
So there's no explanation behind?
I can't give you an explanation for why the applicant didn't decide to submit a planning application. But an application has been submitted and it is here for the committee to consider.
Was the application requested by the council, or did it come in unasked for?
It may have been submitted following a enforcement inquiry, but I'm unaware if it has. I don't know, John, if you know if one has.
Chair. Thank you.
Clarity, yes.
Chelsea Parish Council raised a number of concerns. The enforcement office and the enforcement team duly went out, and not only did they pick up on the concerns that Chelsea Parish Council raised, they picked up on a whole look of other ones in addition to those raised.
Thank you.
Chairman, to remind members that if they were minded to refuse, then they would need to demonstrate the planning harm that would be done. The case officer having actually said that it would not result in any adverse ecological impact, and that there is not any non-compliance with the relevant policies that set out in the conclusion section at the end on page 47. So just to bring that to committee's attention, really.
Thank you. Councillor Nixon.
Can we just have some clarification on which part of that garden is going to be reverted to agricultural land and how?
So, appreciate the plan isn't particularly clear on the screen, but if you can see that the site edged in red has effectively been enclosed by the applicant. The green line on there indicates the extent of the originally approved curtilage. So what the applicant intends to do, and this is secured by a condition, is the post and rail fence that runs along the northern portion and then the eastern portion of the red edge would be removed, and I think the condition states within 6 months if permission is granted. And then the new post and rail fence, which runs along the sort of right hand side of the blue edge there, and then the left hand side of the orange, and then it moves across towards the right, that would also be implemented to create a defensible boundary. And then with the removal of the fence, that would become open. It would no longer be enclosed.
What is the orange piece then?
So the orange piece is the portion of the applicant's existing approved curtilage that they are willing to swap in order to change the use of the blue, which is outside of their approved curtilage.
But that red line is still going to be the boundary.
No, the red edge would not. So, with the removal of the fence, and then the installation of a new fence, it may be worth to me.
Yes, anyway.
So there is a postman rail fence that runs along here. There is a condition which states if permission is granted, that postman rail fence would be removed within 6 months of approval. The applicant is also proposing a new postman rail fence which would run along here. So in effect, this whole area on the other side of the postman rail fence would become open, and it would no longer be enclosed and
so
separated.
It's not just the orange piece, it's the entire section.
The entire section, yeah. Sorry if I didn't make that clear. So this whole section of both the white portion and the orange portion would be unenclosed and then open to the surrounding agricultural field.
Thank you. Councillor Frank James.
I think this is a case for a site visit. I think it's very hard for people to comprehend what's happening out there. I think we need to go out there and have a look at this stuff.
Is that what you're proposing?
Yes.
Anyone want to second that?
No.
No? Don't fancy a day out in Chebsey there?
Gorgeous location,
Chair. Councillor Beattie.
Chairman, I appreciate everything Councillor Pert says, but I'm mindful of the officer's recommendations, and they make absolute sense in this case. The building developments within the 70% and the rest of it we've seen, so I would propose that we approve the application.
The proposal for a site visit was not seconded. They have a proposal to approve. Anyone want to second that?
Can we condition that there is screening around
I'm
the property?
Sure,
because it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Right. I'm agree with that.
So along the post and rail fence, that would be reinforced with planting. Is that...
Native hedges, absolutely, to keep it more in line with the agricultural
and not just
area.
Little, and not just little whips. The
yes.
Something a bit more substantial.
But I would also take advice from the tree officer on a specific height that he would feel would be appropriate.
Okay. Proposed and seconded to approve,
subject
to a condition of native tree planting, hedging and screening along that post and rail fence.
Is John okay?
You okay with that, John? Hold on.
Just clarify whether we're talking about the northern edge. I think it's facing north at the top.
It would be all. It would be
obvious.
The
top of the plan is on the screen, from the left-hand corner to the where the blue is.
It would be the northern boundary, the eastern boundary, and then the northern boundary, all proposed new boundaries. That's what I was envisioning. the existing northern boundary and then the new eastern and then new extension to the.
So, I'm just looking at the image here.
Councillor Roy James.
Could you just. Is he allowed to stand up and point it on the diagram, please? Because I can't see what he's talking about.
Okay, yeah, if you can.
If that's allowed.
I think my thoughts are that obviously this is going to be a retained boundary here.
Yeah.
The new boundary then comes down here, is post rail, this is also post rail. So I would propose all that boundary there is what is being.
Is there any planting on the northern boundary at the present time? No.
No.
And that's agricultural land, so that might be. I wouldn't do that.
You can contain
the garden, but not the field.
It can be done within the garden.
Within
town.
The garden boundary, yeah.
Do it within the garden boundary.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay, thank you.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be that high that you can't still see the view. It should be diverse.
Yes.
That's the whole point. It should be. It can be.
Okay. Right. So it looks like you want to condition any approval on. Planting along those boundaries as defined, north, east, and around the hot tub area. Proposed and seconded for approval. Do you want to take a vote on that condition? Can we?
No. Just a bit.
We've had a quick discussion on it, and I think one of the tests, as you know, on condition is it reasonable. There's other tests such as precise and enforceable and whatever else. The view we have is that along the eastern boundary, and I will point to it, I'm sure. So it's this new fence here,
yeah,
and here,
yeah,
would be reasonable because that's a direct result of this application. However, the fence along the northern boundary is already there.
That's what that's
with consent. So this proposal doesn't in itself directly relate to that northern boundary.
Can I just add something there? But this is for retrospective planning permission of a significant number of developments that have taken place on that previous following the approval of that fence. So this is now trying to, if it wants approval for this, it's taking into account the screening of some of these items.
I understand what you're saying, but does that directly screen any of these developments that you're concerned about?
So can I ask where on the hot tub would be situated, please?
The hot tub is situated in the south eastern corner.
Thing? Yeah. That's the round thing.
Bottom right hand corner.
So that's on the entrance
almost on the corner of the entrance to the property, is that?
No, it's bottom right hand corner.
Where is the entrance? Sorry, I haven't got my glasses on. I'm trying to look on my screen and it's not helping much.
The entrance to the property is on the western side, or on the left hand side of this image. So this is the access, this is then the driveway, and then to the rear, behind the house, is the bottom.
What's the square?
This is
a patio down.
Sorry, through you, Chairman. So in the small purple area at the bottom?
Yes.
I do feel that there should be some additional screening around the hot tub.
There would be with what I was suggesting.
Chairman, I'm prepared to add that condition to my proposal.
Okay. Do you want to outline that condition?
Yes, that the condition should apply to the new area, not to the existing fence.
The northern area. Okay, so proposed and seconded to approve, subject to reinforcement of native hedge planting along the eastern boundary and what we might call the southern boundary. Yeah, I think we know what we mean. So, on the basis of that, all those in favour, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Mr. Chairman.
Two against? One against. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, councillors.
Before I even say a word on the next application. Thank you. Okay, so this is application number 22/35824. Bank Farm, Back Lane, Croxton, Stafford. The applicant is a serving member of the council, so it comes before this committee to make a decision.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, it comes to the committee not simply because Councillor Pert is a member, but because he is a member and there is an objection to the application. So, as you'll note from the agenda, planning permission was granted in October 2021 for the conversion of two redundant barns within the curtilage of Bank Farm. This application submitted due to an improved access for construction traffic to allow safer delivery of materials and also for construction staff parking during the implementation of the planning permission. As such, a temporary permission is sought for the use of the proposed relocated field access. If planning permission is granted, it will result in the relocation of the access point from the B5026, removal of the existing hedgerow and the planting of the replacement hedgerow. Once construction works to the barn conversion has been completed, the relocated access would revert to being a field access. There was an initial objection from the Highway Authority, which was based on a failure to demonstrate required visibility displays on the new access. However, subsequent amended plans have resolved this objection. The most recent plan is 1823-PL3-003, Revision F, and I would ask committee to amend the wording of proposed condition 2 to reflect that it's now Revision F and not Revision E. There are no objections from the council's biodiversity and or ecologist officer to the removal of the hedgerow, subject to the condition proposed. Therefore, I recommend that permission is granted, subject to the amendment I've just mentioned, to condition 2. We look now at the site. You can see the red edge is an unusual shape, but that's because of the visibility displays, basically. Now, again, on an aerial photograph, and then on here, the the barns and bank farm are immediately to the left of the red edge, in the bottom part of the red edge. It's probably easier to show you on here. So you can see, point to it. This is Bank Farm, and these are the barns that have been converted, effectively with a link to convert it into a single barn. What you'll see when we see another photograph shortly is what the entrance there and the road in front of Bank Farm looks like, and you'll see why there is an issue potentially with construction traffic. So if I just jump ahead a minute, that is the access to the barns, and you can see them on that photograph. And that is Back Lane. So clearly it's single track. You're basically not going to be able to get HGVs to get access into the farmyard from that direction. Well, certainly not without blocking the road. So, as I say, that's the site. image two is the existing field access from the B5026, which is the barn gate that you can see in the hedgerow there. This is the same gate, but this time taken from inside the field, looking outwards towards the B5026. Those are the barns and the entrance. That entrance serves not just the barn, but the bank house itself and parking. Back Lane, photograph we just saw. And then this photograph is taken looking across the field towards the rear of one of the barns there, that you can see with the large green door thing. So on plan one, the red edge is the application boundary, the blue edge is, sorry, it's jumped. The blue edge is other land within the applicant's control, so in other words, the house and garden immediately to the north of it, and the barns to the south. It shows it a little bit better there. Now what you can see on here, but I will have to point it out, it's not that clear, is the existing field access is there. Steve, if you can just go to the next one, please. And the new access is there. So at the moment it's pretty much there underneath the electricity lines, moving further north. And then what you can see here is the visibility display shown in the red, and the hedge is then planted at the back of the visibility display. So in other words, the hedge and the front road frontage is removed and a new one is planted further back. That becomes the access. For a temporary period, it would be through this application, it would be for construction traffic, after which it would revert to being a field access instead of that one.
Thank you.
So that's the basis of what the application is. And as I say, Chairman, recommend approval subject to an amendment to condition 2. Thank you.
I'm just getting an image of the streets in here, which shows the existing hedge.
Mr. Chairman?
There's a.
Move to approve.
Let's have a conversation first. There's a statement from Councillor Pertz which he wishes to be read out.
So, John, have you finished?
Yeah.
Okay. This is on behalf of Councillor Pert. Mr. Chairman, councillors, I stand before you as the applicant and owner of Bank Farm in Croxton
where I have lived for the past quarter of a century. We have previously secured planning permission to convert two redundant and decaying agricultural buildings, not like the ones in the photograph, but ones where the roof has blown off and has been open to the elements for the past 18 months, incurring expenditure and decay impacting on the historic fabric of the buildings. Buildings urgently crying out for love and a new purpose. This application is to request the moving, the relocation of an agricultural field access by 20 metres along a road to improve forward visibility on exiting the site, and so that delivery vehicles don't have to deliver underneath low-level overhead power cables. The move of the access is so that construction traffic staying on site can keep off the roads surrounding the site and not impact on the lives of my neighbours. The existing access has poor substandard visibility splays for exiting the site due to my neighbour having an outbuilding on the front edge of their land. So this application was to improve safety and amenity for contractors, suppliers and neighbours. A move of the access point to a field by 20 metres. All of this is really easy, nothing complex, dead easy, nothing contentious, and I hope it is not a concern for members. We applied, whereas some might have just created an access and argued it was temporary. The impact of that, given the application was submitted on Monday the 4th of April of last year, is that 58 weeks later, I stand before you in this committee. 58 weeks to get to this point, on top of the surprisingly similar 58 weeks on the main application. That's 27 months in total instead of 4 months. This is not a difficult application to determine, but the impact of the delays experienced is that many of the ecology survey for the main application are now out of date and need redoing. Building works are having to be done twice. Buildings have decayed needlessly and building price inflation has been rampant. The government has a target of turning around planning applications in 8 weeks. This has been 50 weeks, or nearly a year longer. So I am sorry that I don't agree with the council statement on page 57 of the report, suggesting that the council has worked in a positive and proactive way in determining the application, as I find that this is stretching the truth by some distance. By the way, for the record, I am not talking about the current case officer, who has been excellent. Thank you, Lou.
Okay, thank you. I'll go to you first, Councillor Roy James.
Yeah, move to accept with the conditions as laid down in the agenda.
Okay, I think we've had a bit of a conversation first. Who went first?
I'll second the.
You're going to second
that. Yeah. My simple question, I'm not proposing it in any way, but how do you demonstrate that there are no birds nesting? If you just said leave it until August, that's fair enough. But birds nest several times, late several times a year. I'm just wondering how it can be demonstrated.
You use an ecologist to inspect the hedge. Yeah. It can be done, but obviously there's a cost to it.
Yeah.
You can net it as well.
I just wondered, my question was, how do you demonstrate it? Yeah.
Councillor Spencer?
No, it's part of the ecology statement that says. Condition requiring bird boxes restored appropriate locations has also been recommended. It says recommended, has it actually been made a condition?
Yeah.
Page 55.
Yeah, being an appropriate location. It's kind of a bit vague, isn't it? Fairly substantial and mature hedge, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's already there.
So by planting a new one, obviously you've removed a significant portion of nesting opportunities, presumably hence why the bird boxes.
An appropriate method statement for the protection of nesting birds, it says on page 55.
Yes, it's a method statement with regards to if there's any bird nest there, when the garden preserve takes place or not, provision for nesting areas following the removal.
As John says, you do have to have it inspected by someone.
Yes, I'm just wondering if the condition is to be implemented.
I think
Is the condition that, sorry, Chair, but is the condition that nesting birds are protected during the construction phase?
During the construction, yes, that would be, the ecologist would say there is no nesting birds here, therefore you can remove it. But what it's not, or what this recommendation by the ecologist is saying, they would like some bird boxes placed following the removal of the hedge, because presumably there's been a degradation of that hedge because you're now replacing a mature hedge with saplings. So there's no opportunity for birds to let nest in that area anymore.
Well, bird nesting season is March the 1st to August 31st, is it? Yes. Something like that. You can net the hedgerow during the winter months.
That's not. That's
Councillor Kenny?
Yeah, but the understanding you're making is obviously the hedge is going to be ripped out and it's going to be moved back. There'll be a brand new hedge with no opportunities for any nesting for several years, and that's why the ecologist is stating that provision of bird boxes. Is that
correct?
Yeah. And I agree that that should be a condition of the bird boxes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a condition 3 and the recommendation, but there's no, it doesn't put the condition for bird boxes.
Yes. Yes. So that needs to be defined in the conditions. Is what
right, I can see what you mean. So the last sentence on paragraph 3 at the top of page 55,
yeah.
A condition requiring bird box to be installed in appropriate locations. So, in effect, you want an additional condition to require effectively what the ecologist is saying in that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Point 3.
Yeah. So, Councillor Jones's motion to approve would be subject to the amendment to condition 2 and the added condition to add bird boxes pursuant to section 3.
Okay.
Is that okay,
James? Yeah,
got that.
Yeah.
Okay. So proposed by Councillor Roy James, seconded by Councillor Frank James, subject to amendments to condition 2 and adding the condition as outlined on page 55, the ecology report. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favour of approval?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now move on to planning appeals. Do you want to comment on this one? So you can see what's happening there. They're all listed.
So there's two pages. First page 59 is new appeals received, and then page 60 is the appeal decisions received. And then in the following pages, we reproduce the inspector's decision letters for those three appeals.
Anyone want to comment on those appeal decisions? No? Enforcement matters on page 69. Only Marston Lane, Marston.
Yes, Chairman. The short report here. So, see the location plan of where Homely is. Or you see it's fairly remote property. Aerial photograph shows the context. And that is the photograph of work as it was taking place at the time. And the second photograph is the completed works. So you'll see from the report that this isn't built in accordance with the 2020 Planning Permission. Planning enforcement have been involved, and as a result, a retrospective application was submitted in July of last year. That application was refused under delegated powers following the members' withdrawal of the calling. You can see under paragraph 1.3 why it was refused. The proposal, by reason of its excessive scale and massing, results in disproportionate additions that fundamentally alter the type and character of the original dwelling
Proposals therefore contrary to policies C5C, N1G and H of the Planning Staff of Borough. So at this time the applicant could still appeal against the refusal of planning permission. We're still within time to do that, but what we're seeking through this report is authorisation to take enforcement action for the reasons given for the refusal of the planning permission.
In agreement with that?
Mm-hmm. So this would make a definition.
Yeah, who's going to
Chairman, can I just add that there are innumerable problems with this particular owner. This is just the beginning of it.
I think we discussed the application rather than the applicant. Okay, who's going to propose that
Can I just ask, is this going to mean demolishing the building?
Altering.
No, we're not. It's a good question.
We're putting it back to the site.
We haven't specified in here exactly what the works are. In effect, it's something we would need to take legal advice on how we do it. But in effect, we can't reduce it to more than was permitted. So it's likely to be taken off the top story.
Yeah.
And a few other works as well, but it's quite hard to articulate what it all is at this stage.
Yeah, okay. Enforcement action to be taken.
Chairman, it's an absolute monstrosity. I mean, that belongs on a brand new housing estate. It does not belong here. It's appalling. And how they thought that it would ever have got through, I've no idea. It is horrific.
Propose to take enforcement action.
Absolutely.
Frank James.
Mover.
And Roy James second. So all those in favour and enforcement action. Sure, thank you. Or 10. Then we have one more. Trinity Gorse, Trinity Fields.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah. Some of you will recall visiting this on a committee site visit. This is a house that on a cul-de-sac, Trinity Fields. It's one where there was an extension proposed to the rear, a number of different elements to the extension. And at the time of the site visit, the applicant had already erected a structure in the rear garden. So this photograph is taken from the property behind. What you can see there is it's effectively a shipping container with a wooden structure around it and over it. So that's the container, and you can see the structure above it. So it requires planning permission, which was made clear to the applicant. And also, one of the things that apparent at the time of the site visit and is still the case is that some of the fences exceed 2 metres in height and therefore require planning permission. So again, we're looking for authorisation to take appropriate enforcement action. The situation, as you'll see from the report with the container, is slightly complicated by the fact that there our abilities to do certain things during the construction of the extension. However, the construction of the extension is quite well advanced now in any case. So again, it's going to be a case where we take legal advice as to the scope of any enforcement action. But, for example, the structure that goes over the container increases its height. So whilst the container itself could be, if that was on its own, it would be a few centimetres over the permitted development right while there was something taking place. But with the structure over it and covering the land behind it, it exceeds the height by even further. And then you see from that picture that there's two fences on there. The lighter coloured one is almost part of the structure around the container. So again, that exceeds 2 metres in height. So just before I'm prompted to say what the extent of the work is, it will be removing some or all of the structure and reduction in height of some of the fences so that they don't exceed 2 metres in height.
But the shipping container would remain there?
Potentially, but not necessarily. It depends on the legal advice.
Right, okay.
Councillor Phillips?
As I recollect, this gentleman originally put in an application that was in relation to his extension and the shipping container, and then withdrew the shipping container part of it.
Yeah.
So he knowingly took that out because he was hoping, I can only assume, that by continuing with the development, which you can see is restricting the removal of the shipping container, he would then not have to remove the shipping container. This is completely unacceptable. It was unacceptable when he did it. He didn't seek any kind of advice, and as far as I'm concerned, he should absolutely be.
So, are you proposing
I certainly am.
Initiate proceedings?
I would second that.
You're going to second that, thank you. Councillor Jones, and all those in favour of that action being taken?
10.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being kind to me.